How Not to Sail, sponsored by our lovely Patreon patrons and Latitudes and Attitudes. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. By the way, don't forget to check out the show notes for today's episode, complete with photos, a map, and all kind of stuff, which you can easily locate in the usual manner by going to hownottosail.com/15. One of the things you should know about cruising is that if you persevere, you'll eventually solve the problem. Well, sometimes. Stubbornness is a handy trait for a how-not-to-sailer, but you also have to know when to quit. Not when things get unpleasant, but when you realize you're about to mess up. Bigly. Stubbornness can be good, like when you persist in solving a minor 12-volt problem instead of giving up and calling a so-called marine electrician. Stubbornness can also be bad, like when you persist in trying to back your sailboat into a slip in an adverse wind and current. Not that I did that in Marathon or anything. Although if I had tried to do something like that in Marathon, at least Fuel Doc Debbie would have been there to keep me out of trouble.
You know, I noticed when you came in slow and easy. You backed her down. You did an amazing job. You're one of the few. I don't have any good stories to tell on. But of course, you haven't left yet either. So all that could change.
This is true, yeah.
Indeed, things can change quickly in cruising. What looks like persistence one minute may turn out to be foolishness the next. The trick is knowing the difference. If at first you don't succeed, will pig-headed obstinance win the day? Or are you trying to do something stupid? That's exactly the question I have on my mind about the first episode of this podcast, as I finally get ready to head back north toward Gulfport. But this morning, I'm just trying to get out of the slip by the 11 a.m. checkout.
Marathon Marina Fuel Dock, sailing vessel JC Sails.
Vessel calling Marathon Fuel Dock, Marathon Fuel Dock. Switch to inch channel 10, Captain.
10.
I had big plans to leave at 4 in the morning, but after posting episode 43 of my dad's Depression Baby podcast, getting a shower, and all the usual last-minute things, I finally changed course and decided to squeeze every last second out of the checkout time.
JC Sales, Fuel Dock.
I just want to say I appreciate it, and I'm out of here, sir.
How'd you, Captain? You guys have a safe trip. Thanks for stopping in and staying with us.
We'll see you soon. JC Sales going back 1-6.
After a goodbye transmission to Jerry at the fuel dock, since Debbie was off for a change, I pulled out of the slip at, well, let's just say I had the engine on at 11 anyway. You've heard me use the bosun's whistle before, but you may be wondering what the heck it is. The very short story is... Back in the day, the boatswain, or bosun for short, would use different unique calls on this whistle to muster the crew or order them to certain tasks. The whistle could be heard from stem to stern of the ship, even in bad weather. The whistle could also be used for fun things like signaling dinner time or welcoming a dignitary on board. The signal for this last thing is called piping the side and was also used to salute a superior vessel or flagship. And that's the sound that you hear me making from time to time, sometimes better than others. I like to pipe the side at drawbridges and passing sailboats. Mostly they wave and smile, sometimes with a confused expression. If I really want to have some fun, I'll pipe the side to a motorboat and watch them look around to see if they're supposed to do something. Now, as I motor west out the channel from the marina, I spot another how-not-to-sailer.
Got a sailboat under sail behind me coming down the channel. What, they think they're me?
They're gaining on me, and because I'm motoring and they're sailing, they have the right-of-way. So I bump up the throttle.
I think I can get out of the channel before they get up my ass.
Having another sailboat up your ass is one of those things you want to avoid if you can. We narrowly escape a proctological exam and get out into the open water below 7 Mile Bridge. Smooth sailing. Or motoring, anyway. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, my auto helm unit over here is not showing me anything on the display or doing anything. foul language ensued.
This could make my jump north less than optimal.
So when I'm out here by myself, the autopilot affects my ability to raise and lower sail, to do other things, to jump down in the cabin to grab something, all that good stuff. Aside from keeping me on a steady course and making things generally less miserable.
Now, a complete noob might be tempted to turn back around to the marina and Google the nearest marine electronics place where he or she could drop lots of money. And if I know I'm in over my head, I might do just that. But I've got a feeling I can solve this.
How about we just drift here for a minute and I turn the electronics off and on, get rid of that radio, see if we can fix this thing.
Do you ever get that feeling when you're working on something that's very fiddly and requires a lot of coordination and you keep dropping things, that you just want to have a tantrum and fling things around? I usually just stop for cursing instead, or as we say in the South, cussing. My stubbornness and the cussing pays off though, and after disconnecting and reconnecting the data cable to the AutoHelm control thingy.
I got you. So, just randomly unplugging plugging it back in seemed to work this time.
Will my repair hold out for the next 14 hours or so? I don't know. But I think I have a good chance of being able to fix it again. Unless that unplugging and replugging business was just coincidence. Everything seems fine as I cross some of the ever-present crab pots below Seven Mile Bridge and approach Moser Channel, which runs up through the bridge.
Just made the turn north near marker 4 for Seven Mile Bridge and points beyond, sadly.
Finally, after almost 500 miles, I'm headed north. Well, okay, I'm headed north from here to Miami, too. But you know what I mean. I squeezed through the 7 mile bridge span next to the barge thing that worried me so much coming south. The sign on the back and the crude lettering painted on the bow say James Pointer Roman numeral 5, out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm still not quite sure what it is other than they must be working on the bridge. I guess it's some kind of tugboat. It looks like one of the tiny house people said, I want something that looks kind of like a boxy, squat, three-story lighthouse meets construction trailer. The thing had a thick skirt of car tires chained around the waterline, and just past it was a red barge with an actual crane, a half-size shipping container, and welding gear, all of which made the channel even narrower. You can see why running across all this mess at night in the bridge channel lit up like some kind of honky-tonk with a neon sign on top might cause what Ron White would call a pucker factor. Well, at least I know what I was looking at the other week.
Just a few miles north of Bullard Bank. As usual, I am motoring. I do have the jib up, just to give us a little hint of extra, maybe.
I'm trying to do some proper sailing, but as is often the case, I really don't care if it's the wind or the Iron Jenny pushing me forward. I just want to get across Florida Bay to Marco Island sometime before tomorrow. I do decide to put the main up and trim the main and the jib to catch a little bit of the following breeze, but we're really just motoring with sails up.
I don't really sail a lot.
I think I've said this before, or written about it, or something, but I spend about 50% of my time on the water straight up motoring, another 25% of the time motoring with sails up, and a measly quarter of the time actually sailing. Your mileage may vary, as they say. If you're cheaper than me or have more free time to sail, good on you. I aspire to that someday. Meanwhile, I gotta go.
Well, all bitching aside, and not to jinx anything, but it actually is really nice to have a dependable engine to get us from the Keys up to the mainland when there's not much wind. Otherwise, what's gonna take 14, 16 hours would take a couple of days of very tedious, very slow sailing.
Even motoring, I've just realized it's going to be a late-night arrival at Marco Island. At best.
So, as of right now, it's going to be about 1:30 in the morning when I drop the hook. If I'm lucky, I think I'll put my pants back on.
But speaking of sailing naked, that's what I'll be doing if I neglect to give thanks to our awesome 10 founding Patreon patrons. And I'm going to name names at the end, but for now, let me just say that your pledges help me free up more time to work on how not to sail, instead of doing voiceovers about the awesome new widget somebody is selling, or chopping up audio bits when a client asks me to make them sound smarter. Patreon helps independent artists like me keep doing what they're doing and offers cool benefits and swag and an inside connection to you as a patron. You can check out the How Not to Sail Patreon page and become the newest member of the crew in less than 2 minutes and as little as $3 a month at hownottosail.com/Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. So yeah, I sailed naked for a while since my pants and shorts were damp. But you gotta be careful in the Florida sun.
Got my pants back on. Didn't want to get too much sun on the sensitive parts. Trying to put on pants in a moving sailboat on the ocean is quite special.
By this time, I've got my microphone clamped to the steering pedestal and running into my recorder. I have a feeling this long crossing will provide some good sound bites. Or at least some good cussing. With the release date of How Not to Sail, Episode 1, fast approaching, I'm starting to have all kind of ideas about things to do in the podcast. I think back to the conversation I had with the Admiral before I set off on this trip.
Remind me why you're doing this again.
Because otherwise there's no story.
Even then, it was right under my nose. This whole season should be a story, not a straight interview show. I want to focus on the story aspect of the podcast and weave my interviews into the episodes so they hopefully contribute to some kind of coherent point. I've made some progress on episode 1, turning what was a straight interview with Bob Bitchin into something that fits this new vision. As we motor north in the hot sun, I'm thinking I could have spent another couple of days in Marathon enjoying the pool and working on episode 1. Except they had other people that wanted my slip.
Thinking about my potential interview with Rob Wells, too. Hope it occurs.
I'm cautiously optimistic I can capture some good material from the owner of Cabbage Key as I pass through on my way north. So far, he's proven elusive. But for now, it looks like I'm going to have to stop pretending to sail and let the Iron Jenny do the work. The sails are just hanging there, with the main threatening to jibe every so often.
Don't jibe.
Jibing is fine as a planned maneuver. Accidental jibing is not cool. Even though there's not enough wind today to fling the boom across and wreck the mast, it's still unnerving.
Okay, enough of this futility. I'm gonna take the sails down as soon as I pass these crab pots.
You didn't think we'd get through the day without any crab pots, did you?
Like 20 miles north of Marathon, 11 miles west of the Everglades. Still, there's crab pots. Could probably do a little mashup with me going crab pot, crab pots, 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 crab pots. More crab pots. Something happened with that crab pot line. A single crab pot. We're like 12 miles west of Shark River or something. And came back up a couple minutes later and there's a string of crab pots. Going across that line of crab pots. More crab pots, of course. Except for the damn crab pots. Oh, crab pot. Enough of f***ing crab pots already.
That pretty much sums up what's in the water north of the Keys. If not most of Southwest Florida. I also saw a good number of dolphin hunting throughout the afternoon, some of them frolicking in our bow wave, and this time I had the good sense not to try to grab my camera, which always seems to make them go away. Mostly they seemed to be hunting bonefish, which would launch out of the water ahead of us and skitter across the surface. Aside from the dolphin and the crab pots, I didn't run across much all afternoon, other than a lone fishing boat. I turned 20 degrees to port to avoid him and tried to get him on VHF channel 16.
Fishing vessel 11 miles west of Cape Sable, sailing vessel JC Sales, northbound.
Their response? Nada.
They are uncooperative. I think they're probably a crab boat. Just want to make sure they don't have any long lines out that I'm going to run over.
As we pass the mystery vessel, I grab my binoculars, but can't quite make out the name.
It's the something lady, but something's blocking the left side of the transom there. Can't tell.
The fishing boat is the only interruption to an otherwise languid afternoon. Until a quarter to six. Cruising is like war in one respect. Hours of boredom interspersed with moments of terror. Well, puckering, anyway. Anything out of the ordinary on a boat is something you probably want to check out.
I guess the number one thing you want to avoid on a boat is water coming in the boat where it's not supposed to. And I guess the top two ways for that to happen are running into things and things running into you, or fire. When I went forward a little bit ago, I noticed a burning smell up toward the V-berth and traced it down to the shore power cord, which, of course, hasn't been plugged in since this morning to anything. Not sure why it smells that way. If it's just been baking in the sun, or it got hot when it was in use. Is there a short? What's going on there?
Sometimes I have to play a game of hot and cold where I stick my nose or ears into various compartments and try to figure out where a particular aroma or sound is coming from. I'm usually better with my ears. Sometimes I'm just stumped. But this time, persistence pays off, and I'm moderately certain we aren't about to go up in flames and sink into the Gulf of Mexico. Anyway, not long after solving that little problem, I'm treated to a beautiful sunset, and immediately proceed to mess it up.
Here we are, rolling in this beautiful scenery. Beautiful sunset in front of me as I look off to port. I may have to draw that. There will be a drawing. Or I'll just take a picture, that's easier.
Or maybe I could just leave the iPhone put away and appreciate the damn sunset. You may remember, last time I resolved to enjoy the moment more.
But I'm having a drink, I'm listening to an audiobook. I still can't taste my food while I'm eating it.
I suppose the most not zen thing in the world is worrying that you're not being zen enough.
Now I'm thinking I need an antacid.
But at least I have the perfect floating meditation temple to practice in. Even if I've been listening to the sound of the engine for the last 8 hours.
So it's 6:50 p.m. on the 24th. We are maybe 10, 12 miles off the Everglades. Probably still not to Shark River and Ponce de Leon Bay. We could be anywhere. There are no lights. No boats, no nothing. There's a twilight of the sunset off to the west. There's the boat and me, and that is all.
These are some of the great moments in cruising. Ghosting along in the middle of Florida Bay, the world all to myself. Of course, the minute you start recording something with your smartphone or your camera, or even in writing, you fundamentally change the experience.
I'm scribbling in my notebook and jabbering into the tape recorder. Tape recorder. The recorder.
But I keep jabbering and scribbling. I've got a podcast due out in 4 days, and a lot more of them after that.
This is going to be a ton of audio to sort through.
I'm starting to wonder where this How Not to Sail podcast fits on the persistence versus foolishness spectrum. By the time I drop the hook off Marco Island at 2:30 in the morning, I've got 47 audio recordings, 73 photos and videos, 15 social media and blog posts, and 36 log entries in my Nebo log recording the day's events. But I'm not done yet.
Let's try and get some surf noise. So this will be surf noise night, Marco Island from the boat. One second, hopefully.
All this recording is the opposite of being present, of course, but that's okay too. As of midnight, we're now down to 3 days until episode 1 of How Not to Sail is supposed to come out. And persistence seems like a good thing. For today, at least. Tomorrow, it could be a hazard. Stay tuned next time to see if my stubbornness gets the best of me or whether I run into anything expensive. And don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at hownottosail.com/15, where I have pictures from this day, an explanation of what my Nebo log is, what kind of bosun's whistle actually works and what kind to avoid, and all kind of stuff. Oh, and a link to the book, How Not to Sail. Did I mention there's a book? A big welcome to everybody listening on Spotify and Pandora. If that's you, drop me a line in the show notes comments. I'd love to hear from you. A huge thanks to our founding 10 Patreon patrons, Captain Boomies, Mark and Shaney Nicholas, Dave West, Joe and Gabrielle of the From Surfers to Sailors podcast, my dad Ray, Vivian Vong and Nathan Zart, Julie McGinnis, Rebecca Howard, Tanya, my lovely admiral, and my buddy Bill Ramsey. And a special shout out to Mark for recently becoming the very first patron at the Sailing Master level. You don't have to be a Sailing Master to help out, though. You can become the newest member of the crew in less than 2 minutes and as little as $3 a month. So if you enjoy the podcast and want to help keep it going, just go to hownottosail.com/Patreon or just check the show notes for this episode. As a patron, you'll get insider access to exclusive audio and behind-the-scenes content, early access to the podcast, a copy of the book How Not to Sail, and all kind of cool stuff. Not to mention the good feeling of being a Mitch. Speaking of patrons and cool people, stay tuned for my interview with Captain Boomies coming up soon on the YouTube channel. I really appreciate you being here. I hope you have some boating fun this week. And meanwhile, keep the anti-fouling paint pointed toward the seafloor, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.